Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this hymn was good preparation for the test. So, why did he become incarnate, the Virgin Mary? Why did he teach? Why did he do signs and wonders? Why did he die on the cross and rise from the dead? Why did he ascend into heaven to reign? Why did he send his Spirit? Right. What's the answer? Yeah. Okay. Good. You remember. You it's good. That was effective. Right. For us. So when we look at our gospel reading this morning, and we see Christ baptized, why was he baptized? For us, right? So John is out there in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance, okay? And then Jesus goes and gets baptized. Well, what's going on there, right? Because Jesus became with us, or like us, in every way, but without sin. So how can he receive a baptism of repentance? Well, John says, I'm not, you know, I shouldn't be baptizing you, and Jesus says, you know, let it be so for now, right? To fulfill all righteousness. This is important. You're right, John, right? You probably shouldn't be baptizing me in one sense, but this is important. This is part of the plan. Jesus is baptized for our sake. You think about it this way. Jesus is, well, he's the Son of God, become a human being for our sake. In doing so, he's taken on our nature. Okay. Now, normally, you wouldn't think that a human being being baptized in the water with John like that, that the heavens would be torn open, that the Spirit would descend on him, and that a voice would come from heaven and say, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Right? That's not, you wouldn't just expect that for just anyone. But here comes the Son of God, become a human being for our sake. And you'd expect it of him. We're not surprised. The heavens are torn open, the Spirit descends on him. Well, this is what happens for you and me in baptism because of Jesus. Jesus has come as a human being in order to unite us to himself, restore us in himself, to take our sin and our weakness and replace it with forgiveness, right? To forgive our sins, but to restore us, right? To give us his righteousness, to give us his strength, to give us the Holy Spirit, and to make us children of God. So now you look at Jesus being baptized, and well, the Spirit descends on him the form of a dove, and you think of your own baptism, and this is what it was all about. In your baptism, you received the Holy Spirit. In your baptism, you became a child of God, so that God said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And that applies to women as well, right? It's a son, right? To be a son in the ancient world especially would be to be an heir, right? And that kind of thing. So we are all sons of God, just as we men are Christ's bride, the church, right? So we all get to do that. So Jesus was baptized for you and for me so that we would become children of God and receive the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to shift a little bit to the epistle reading, which is all about our baptism, and we're going to kind of keep that in mind. Jesus' baptism and the Holy Spirit descending and God saying, "You're my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased." And we're going to shift to Paul in Romans speaking about baptism. So throughout this passage from Romans 6, Paul is saying essentially what we've just said, that when you see Christ, like, dying and rising from the dead, you should see yourself there too, because you've been baptized into him. You've been united to him in his death and united to him in his resurrection. So if, right, he died, well, you've died. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So we've been crucified with Christ. Our old self has died so that we would be freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on that last line for a moment. You also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So let's shrink that a little bit for a moment. You also must consider yourselves in Christ Jesus. Okay. So first of all, to consider something is to kind of have it before our eyes. Not necessarily right here in front of our eyes, but before the eyes of our heart. Right? You can all close your eyes and look at something. Because we've got sort of an inner eye, right? So to think of Christ, to look to Christ, is to hold him before the eyes of our heart, you could say. Well, here, Paul is saying to hold yourself before the eyes of your heart, right? But in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. You see Jesus baptized, you see yourself. The Spirit descending on you, and the Father speaking words to you. You see Christ on the cross. See yourself with him being crucified. You see him rise from the dead. See yourself rise from the dead because you are in Christ. You see, faith is all about considering yourself in Christ. Christ says, I give you all these gifts, that your old self, it's gone. The old has passed away, the new has come. In Christ, you're a new creation. The life of faith is all about considering yourself in Christ. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin and alive to God. So this is a transition, you could say, to be dead to sin and alive to God. This death of something and life of something, right? I'm dead to that, and now I'm alive to this. Right? You could say that about a New Year's resolution. Right? Last year was characterized by this that I'd really like to forget. I don't want that anymore for my life. So I'm going to die to that and live to something new. You could also speak of it in terms of a metaphor of changing direction and walking a different direction. That's Paul uses that also, right? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Okay, so that we would change direction and now walk in newness of life, rather than walk in, on the road to death, you could say. Okay, so transition from death to life. That's literally what repentance means. Repentance means change in mind. Okay, metanoia. Noia, mind, meta being like a change, like metamorphosis, change in form, okay? Repentance is a change of mind, a 180 reverse, so that you're changing direction. Right? I was going this way, now I'm going this way, walking in newness of life. Death and life, the death of something, the end of something, and the beginning of something new, right? All right, so we look at Jesus being baptized, and we see a transition, not for himself. He doesn't need repentance. He became like us in every way except without sin. Okay? So he doesn't do it for himself. He does it, well, for us, for all of humanity. He makes this transition, this repentance, this death of the old and life of the new, right? Creation of the new. And that transition and that death and life you also see in the water itself. So it says, he came up out of the water and the Spirit descended on him. Like the heavens opened. All this happens as he comes up out of the water. All right, so picture it this way. In baptism, Luther would say that the old man is drowned, because that's what water does. That's what water is. Well, especially a lot of water, right? It's this dangerous place of struggle. You can't survive just in water. You're in the middle of the ocean, you can't survive. You need something to hang on to, right? Look at Jonah falling down, and he's going to be dead unless God provides a fish, right? And then even down there, it's representative of death. Jonah prays in the fish. He says that he's in the belly of Sheol. Sheol is death. Down there in the belly of Sheol, praying. That's what the transition of baptism is all about. It's a death in the water. But then we're spat out, right? Like Jonah, like Jesus out of the tomb. We're spat out to new life. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, all of this happens in baptism. I mean, like, literally, when we baptize a baby or an adult, the heavens open, the Spirit descends, and God says, "You're my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." Then after that moment, okay, then that person has received the Holy Spirit and faith and is walking a new path in Christ. And the life of faith then is about considering oneself in Christ, to consider oneself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, but especially to consider oneself in Christ. That's what the life of faith is all about. So as you go home today, as you live this week, every day, as Luther says, got to drown the old Adam, right? And live before God as a new creature. Every day is about baptism, and the key is faith. You think of faith that way, as a direction of attention, right? You pay attention to yourself all the time. I pay attention to myself all the time. How do I consider myself, right? Do I consider myself successful, unfortunate, right? Excited, whatever it is, right? But that we would consider ourselves in Christ. That's how you die to sin daily and live to God. That's how the new orientation happens. It's by faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.